From APM, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. State pension funds represent a lot of money, but those funds are struggling to deliver the goods these days. This might be why state pension fund managers are looking at one of the big investment opportunities in the country right now. Yes, tech, but not your Apples and Googles and other public companies, in startups. Vermont, for instance, just allocated a larger portion of its pension fund to be invested in the venture capital world. With great reward comes great risk, and our friend, and we should say a venture capitalist himself, Paul Kudrowski, is worried. Paul, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing well. So first, if my state pension fund is kind of in the red, or maybe very in the red, why is it a bad thing for it to be able to maybe invest in the next Facebook or Snapchat?
Sounds so good. How could it be wrong? And the answer, of course, is that there's a real perversity about the venture capital market, which is that for the most part, you really only want to be in, say, the top 5% of the venture funds out there, that they actually account for the vast majority of the outperformance of all venture funds.
Okay.
So whenever you put it all together, it turns into a pretty average business. But those top funds are so great that they really skew the numbers. Now, here's the problem, of course, is that that's great. So let me into Sequoia, or let me into Benchmark, or let me into whatever. The answer, of course, is you can't get in because those funds are relatively small and you're very big as a state pension fund. So there's just no room for you at the table.
You've got too much money to come to the table with.
Right. You've got too much money because I've got, say, a $1 billion pension fund, and it's not worth my time unless I can put at least 5% or 10% of my money into something. I try to put 5 or 10% of my money to work into venture, and everybody just says, oh my goodness, no, I can't. I don't have space for you.
This could be good for startups though, right? Because if I want to be the next Snapchat, doesn't it help me to get a state fund throwing some scratch my way?
No, this is the perversity of it all. In the short run, more companies will get funded. The flip side, of course, is that the more companies that get funded, you get more people doing everything, more Facebooks, more Snapchats, all trying to beat each other up. If you're going to get more startups, but if your goal was to get higher returns in your state pension fund, that's pretty darn unlikely.
Paul Kudrowski, SK Ventures. Paul, thanks a lot.
Sure.
We all laughed together when Tribune Publishing rebranded its struggling assets to Trunk. And this week, the long-awaited Verizon acquisition of AOL and Yahoo got its own odd moniker, Oath. Under Oath, so to speak, will be over 1 billion users and 20 brands, according to AOL CEO Tim Armstrong. Well, Lindsay Turrentine of CNET is here to give us more. Lindsay, how goes?
I'm doing great, Ben. How are you?
I'm doing great. First, we have to get the name thing out of the way. Trunk, now Oath. Why? Why?
It is hard to name a big company that owns lots of brands.
Can you kind of organize the salvaged parts into piles for us? Like Yahoo and AOL customers go in this pile, Under Oath advertising goes under this different pile. Marissa Meyer goes in the looking for a new job pile. What's going on here?
Okay, so what is happening is that Verizon is collecting under one umbrella a bunch of, let's call them, media properties. There are 1 billion-plus consumers attached to these brands, and they're organizing them in one place, and really so that they can present that to advertisers as a whole, I would presume.
As a user, how might I see evidence of Oath?
I think that unless you work in the media industry, you are unlikely to encounter Oath as a consumer brand. I think that what you will see is probably over time, even more targeted advertising that follows you around from sub-brand to sub-brand. And you may also see the disappearance of some of the brands that fall under this umbrella as the larger company, as Verizon, looks at sub-brands and says, we don't really need this. We're not going to spend money on this, and sort of gets rid of a single property.
Lindsay Turrentine, editor-in-chief of CNET. Lindsay, thanks a lot for talking.
Thanks for having me, Ben.
And we have on this show talked about pizza drones and taco drones. And today we're going to talk about a distant cousin, food delivery robots, like ground traveling robots from the autonomous robot company Starship Technologies, which just last week launched its pilot robot delivery program with food delivery apps DoorDash and Postmates. How's it going? Well, robots, yes. Autonomous, no. This audio postcard from Redwood City, California, thanks to Marketplace's Catherine Girardeau.
My name is Justin Hoffman. I'm the head of operations for Silicon Valley at Starship Technologies.
My name is David Hill. I act as a robot handler.
Many say this robot looks like a water cooler on six wheels. They have a nice little flag, very shiny black lid on top. It's a sleek robot.
So anywhere where a vehicle could cross, it automatically stops there.
We're going down a few blocks over to downtown Redwood City to Vitality Bowls. Cool. All right. Thanks so much.
No problem. Alrighty, so now I am putting the food into the delivery robot.
So we've just arrived. As you can see, the lights will just turn green, and that indicates that the lid is open. We go ahead and open it up. There's a thermal bag we open up. And lastly, we'll grab the food out of the container. And we're good to go. The robot will go on to its next trip.
That sound from a new robot food delivery program in California, thanks to Catherine Girardeau. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.